students are back on campus, classes are underway. What has the first week been like for you, and what is your outlook for the semester?
First week of class. It's always exciting to welcome back the faculty and the staff and the various traditions we have right before the semester starts, and the various breakfasts and lunches, and then the college meetings. And, you know, that's just an exciting time. And the students being on the campus just elevates everything.
Have there been any particular student moments so far this semester that have really stood out to you?
You know, this is my third year, to see some of the freshmen that came in my first year, and just to see and hear, you know, how they've grown, how they've matured, I think it's just pretty exciting seeing some of the new students come. And seeing their interaction with their parents as they leave and those type of things has been just a lot of fun. A lot of selfies have been taken. It's an interesting phenomenon in of itself. That's the new handshake for students. That's the new handshake for that generation. You know, we talk a lot about the students, but also talking with the faculty about what we went through last year, all the successes. And we did have an amazing and very successful year, but we also hit on a very important challenge. We probably had the largest fiscal shift in the history of Murray State University in terms of the amount of money, the amount of funds that were either cut or had to be reallocated due to cost mandates coming to Murray State. Obviously, the reduction from the state appropriation was a factor, but it wasn't the only factor, as we discussed. We had the federal labor law change, the new overtime rules, and we're going through that right now. We had the increase in the pension costs. We've had other significant cost increases that we had to deal with and shift those funds to cover those mandatory expenditures and do it in a time frame of about 4.5 months. So talking to the faculty about that and having the communication and the dialogue and the streams that will ensure that we will be able to have that and really talking about the great things that we've done, the great things that we are doing, the great things that we will be doing, but we're going to face challenges. Performance funding's coming. You know, I've talked with several faculty and staff, and they had asked me, you know, we've been hearing about performance funding. Do you think that's really going to happen? Yeah, it is. This next year, July 1, at least 5% of our budget will be based on outcomes. What those outcomes are, what those measurements are, what those things are, that's something that will have to be ferreted out as time goes on. We will know a pretty good indication by December the 1st when the work group has to provide its findings and its report to the legislative committee, and then they'll take that to the General Assembly and it will be enacted on. But we do know in some way, shape, or form that it's going to involve graduation, it's going to involve retention, we know it's going to involve a weighting, if you will, for certain degrees over others, and we need to be ready for that. As I look at it, it comes back to recruiting excellent students, recruiting students who are college ready, recruiting students who fit Murray State, recruiting the students who have the probability of success, a strong probability of success at Murray State, retaining them, having them progress through their academic years, and graduate. That's the fundamental. How these metrics are weighted and measured and everything else are going to come back to those fundamentals. Our retention numbers from last freshman class to this year is looking very, very positive. It's looking at the high mark that we've had over the last several years. The higher academic standards for this year's freshman class has been implemented. I do have to say, even with a larger freshman class than in previous years, this next year and probably the following year, we'll still continue to see our enrollment go down a little bit. That's due to the fact that over the previous 4 or 5 years, we've had a slight decline in the freshman class and a very acceleration of graduation numbers. That's part of the recession. That's part of the funnel where we've had very large freshman classes. They've worked their way through the system. Now we're seeing some smaller freshman classes work through their system. But I'm very excited the fact that it seems like we've balanced out of our freshman class at that 1,500 mark. We're starting to see a little bit higher. We'll start to see an upward trajectory. But those smaller classes have to work their way through. Those larger classes already have. And so it's going to be, you know, as we kind of go through the next couple of years, it's going to be kind of a flat to smaller enrollments. But eventually I do see those going up because of what we're seeing with our freshman class.
I just want to go back to the performance-based funding real quick. For those who don't know, the work group that you referred to is comprised of university leaders and some government officials, education officials. Is there a sense of unity or consensus among this work group in terms of the metrics and some of the metrics that you described earlier?
I wouldn't say. I mean, I think that there's a sense of unity that's going to happen. I think that there are still various thoughts and philosophies on what the final direction is going to come. For an example, some universities feel that it should be based solely on quantity numbers, the number of graduates, the number of students, the number of X, Y, and Z. Conversely, I think that there's another school of thought that says that it should be based on using the quantity numbers, but more in a quality measurement. Basically, how effective and efficient are you? So what are your graduation rates? What are your retention rates? What are your progression rates? Whatever model comes forward, I think will be a combination of both. It should be a combination of both. I will say the more it's based on quality, the better Murray State does. We have the highest retention rates. We are up there in the graduation rates. We do have challenges with both of those, but I think we've made the steps over the last 2 years to rectify those, and I think that we're going to be back on the upswing. In all of our discussions, the comprehensive universities were in one pool and the research institutions were in another pool. At the last meeting, that was kind of put on its head and said we should be all in one big pool. Again, I disagree with that. We're very different universities. Our cost structures are very different. To compare those two and to have this quote-unquote compete against those two for those dollars, especially if we're talking more quantity than not, I think it would do the Commonwealth a very, very strong disservice.
Yeah, at the last Board of Regents meeting, you mentioned that Murray State is sort of in the middle there in terms of finding the balance between quality and quantity. So a combination of both, would that be the best outcome for Murray State?
It would be probably the best compromise, I would say. The best outcome would be all on quality. But again, I philosophically speaking, I think that there is a need to understand that it cannot be all on the ratios, and that's where you need to balance it out. We look at the facts that someone with a college degree has stronger earning powers. They are more engaged civically. They do a lot of different things to help the economy, to help the culture. They pay more taxes. They give more philanthropically, and a whole host of things. Where I think sometimes people, when they look at those sets, they think, well, God, if we just get everybody a college degree, that's going to happen. It's a correlation. It's not a causation. And so I think it's important as we talk with legislators and others that if all of a sudden we become diploma mills and all of a sudden we just said, boy, just crank them out, quantity, and lose sense of the quality aspects, the importance of higher education, the extra talents and skills that our students are honing here, and not just say, you know, in 4 years you got to get out and 120 credits, you got to get out because then you're going to have that college degree and you can do all these great things. And the reason that people with undergraduate degrees have that higher earning power, have those extra commitment to civic engagement and everything else, is because of the robust experiences in total that they've had at the university. You can't rush certain things. You can't have someone, quote unquote, teach faster. You can't have someone, quote unquote, learn faster. Yes, technology and other aspects can enhance that effort. But like a fine wine, it needs to age, it needs to mature, and you just can't rush that process. I also go back to the purpose of a university degree is not measured by our graduates' titles in business and salary and income levels. It's measured by the impact that they make on society. How will they change and transform the communities that they serve? How will they transform the communities that they serve for the better? How will they reach out and help other individuals who need assistance, need that help, need that leg up? Will they invest in those organizations that transform communities? And to me, that impact of society is the much more important factor of a higher education degree than what salary you make.
I know in my next question for you that performance-based funding is obviously a large part of state appropriation, the conversation, the ongoing challenge. In the last Board of Regents meeting, there were a lot of academic and administrative changes introduced. In terms of mitigating this sort of disinvestment in higher ed funding, I think a lot of people are wondering what's next.
Well, you know, the things that we're looking at is how it's going to be a fluid environment. One of the things that, you know, everyone jokingly talks about is we were state supported, then we became state assisted, and pretty soon we'll be state located. We need to continue to find ways that we can support our own. We need to continue to find ways, and I'm not just talking about tuition dollars. We cannot put this all on the backs of the students. But are there ways in which we can be entrepreneurial and generate other resources? We need to increase our philanthropic activities. We finished a capital campaign a while back and it was wildly successful, and we need to be embarking, and we are embarking on another capital campaign. And when I say capital campaign, usually people go to buildings. I'm looking more at scholarships. I'm looking more at student support. We need to commit to experiential learning in a very different way and make it part of the university fabric. I'm looking to see how we make experiential learning, hands-on learning, a university-wide commitment, a shared commitment. We need to continually be focusing in on how do we use the fiduciary responsibility of the funds that are allocated to us for the best return. How do we use our human capabilities and our skill sets for the best return? How do we create synergies between and among the colleges and departments to really have an amazing impact? That's what we need to be thinking about, and that's what we are thinking about. That's what we're discussing and moving forward on.
One of the big leadership changes recently was Governor Bevin's appointments to numerous boards of state universities, including two new regents at Murray State, Walter Bumfus and Lisa Rudolph. Have you had a chance to speak with them since
absolutely.
Their appointment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both individuals are very committed to Murray State, very committed to our success. Dr. Bumfus brings a host of knowledge and background. He's a former community college president of very large community colleges. In his current role as the president of the National Association for Community Colleges, will bring, again, expert advice and wisdom as we move forward, not only in the higher education landscape, but also just working with community colleges, which will continue to be a very, very important role. Ms. Rudolph is one of our nursing graduates, very committed to community outreach and working with the community, specifically the furthest western communities, the Four River counties. Just a strong, amazing advocate and a deep understanding of economic development through her business acumen. Very committed to dual credit and having the bridge between high school and the university, a very seamless process. A strong, strong advocate and understanding of the value of higher education and understanding that it is about economic development. It's also about, again, how do individuals impact society? And she sees, and we had a wonderful discussion, that the way to do that is to have a robust higher education facility system that will support the community and support the region. And she brings that passion. At the board meeting coming up in early September, we'll have four swear-ins. Kathy Farmer from the libraries is the new faculty regent, and Clint Combs was reelected as a student, so they get to take the oath about swearing that they've never participated in the duel, so I'm looking forward to that. I think we are going to have a wonderful academic year. I think we are on our upward trajectory. I look forward to working with the campus in seizing the opportunities that are before us and hitting the challenges that will confront us. My belief is that it's all about transparency and communication. I look forward to all the opportunities that we have to discuss the issues and the opportunities that are before Murray State.
Murray State President Dr. Bob Davies, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Matt, and as always, go Racers.